All right, good morning. I will call to order the regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Supervisors on this Tuesday, January 29th, and would ask that you all join us as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, good morning to everybody, and appreciate you being here suffering through the thunderstorms last night and potential snowstorm tomorrow, and it's an interesting weather time in Iowa. That leads us to consideration of the January 22nd minutes.
Move approval.
And I will second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Any corrections, additions, or discussion? Seeing none. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Minutes passed. Consideration of personnel actions. We have all items listed.
Move approval.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Hearing no further conversation. Toot?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Consideration of claims.
That looks good.
Still under a million.
I'll move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Consent agenda. We added utility permit 1342 to the consent agenda. Other than that, we have all items.
Move approval.
With noted change.
With the noted change. Thank you, sir.
Okay. I will second that.
Have a motion and a second. Toot?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Consent agenda passes. We have, we have public comment number one. This is comment period. Did that slide down in the agenda?
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. She moved it down.
Public comment number one. This is comment period for the public to address topics that are on today's agenda. Is there anybody who would like to address anything? Seeing no one moving immediately, the microphone, no public hearing items. We will move to additional items. Consideration of an application in support of the rededication of Civil War artifacts that are in honor of Jason Ferguson, which is the first soldier from Story County killed in the Civil War. I don't see Gretchen. Brett, would you mind coming up? You're hiding back there. Come up, please, Gretchen.
She made it. Okay.
This is something we talked about a few months ago, and Gretchen did an unbelievable job giving us a history lesson on our canon and some other artifacts that we have. And so I'll just turn it to you and let you take us through what we're talking about today.
Okay. We are making application to get this event designated as a Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War Sesquicentennial Signature Event. And that gives a distinction, that gives opportunity for them to publicize it as well. The application hereby made to name an event of Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War Sesquicentennial Signature Event. The applicant agrees to the primary purpose of the event, which is to educate the public on the legacy of the valiant work done by all United States military forces between 1861 and 1865. These events are also intended as recruiting opportunities for the SUVCW and the Allied Orders. The event will have a direct connection with the Civil War Sesquicentennial, be of national or state significance, not expose the SUVCW to any insurance risk, present the United States and its military forces in a positive manner, and include a SUVCW camp, department, or a supportive organization within the Allied Orders as a sponsor of the event in some manner. We specifically want to rededicate the bronze Lincoln Gettysburg Address tablet that is on the granite monument in front of the administration building, as well as the 3-inch Confederate Parrot Cannon that was a relic from the Confederate side, but it was the Battle of Shiloh. And we very much would like to have the support of the Story County Board of Supervisors.
Well, I can absolutely say that I can get behind supporting this as long as I don't have to say sesquicentennial very often. If I can avoid that, I'm good. Questions?
No reenactment. I don't have to dress up and, try to chase Brett around the building or anything like that, you know.
Well, we have tried to get, we're not sure about that yet, Wayne, because it's Memorial. Oh, I forgot to say we want to do this Memorial Day at 10 o'clock. Okay, just for the record. Anyway, those reenactors are pretty much already committed, which I understand. But Brett and I in our discussions felt it was a good opportunity to do it because we would have a ready audience. So, no, I can assure you, unless you prefer to, you won't have to dress up.
Well, I agree with Rick. This is we thank you for bringing it to our attention. And, again, this is, again, another reflection of the brave men and women that represented our state and in Story County and so forth, the fact that we have an elaborate history of people who paved the way for us in this great country. I think this would be very fitting, so I'm sure that hopefully the grant application will be successful and we can do whatever part we can in help promoting the event.
Thank you.
I would move that the Story County Board of Supervisors lend its support to the application.
Second.
Further discussion? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. We support the application. Thank you very much. I walk by that cannon three times a day, and, I mean, you taught history, and you remember when somebody tried to steal the cannon. I don't have any big history with it and never really considered it. And Gretchen, I'm so appreciative that you brought this to us and taught us a little something about the artifacts we have. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And you'll bring us, once you get the form that we need to sign, you'll bring that back to us?
And it should be yet this week. Would you be in your offices this week? I will notify you before I come.
Yeah, it would be perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item. We start the community life portion of our program today. With a review of CLP's operating plan 2011 to 2013, and Gayla and Ron are presenting. This is everything, huh?
Well, with your permission, would it be acceptable if we took a few of these things out of order?
Sure.
That were on the next, just the way that it flows, it seems like it might...
Jessica, is there any issue at all with us going a little out of order? We'll deal with things in order, but as far as them reporting to us, it doesn't matter what order they report to us, and then we can deal with each one of them one at a time. Okay. So whatever order you prefer, Gayla.
All right. With that being said, I'd like to begin with the self-assessment, which I believe is the second item. Is that right?
Number four,
thank you. Number four. And this is an annual process that anyone who is a HCBS provider, home and community-based services provider, has to go through a self-assessment process. And we provide services under HCBS for intellectual disability and brain injury. So those are the and habilitation. So those are the services that we have to go through. We take a look at how we feel that we match up with all the various regulations. And if we find something that we think is out of compliance, we'll say no, which there were a couple of things that we felt like we needed to improve on. And so we have a plan to address those. And we then submit this and hopefully are in compliance with their process. There's just a few things, I think, that we found that we felt that we didn't have exactly in place, one of them being reviewing member rights in the way that they wanted them reviewed as far as how often, and just making sure that we did that, and brain injury training. We had people trained for that, but we don't have any sign-off that people were actually being trained by persons who had that. So we're going to go back and reevaluate our orientation sheet to ensure that we have that and that's truly being completed. And I'm not sure, Ron, am I missing?
On page 9, the referral process.
Oh, sending an action. We notify the case manager or whoever it was that made the referral, and the person typically knows that, but we need to formalize that and send them an actual paper or an electronic thing directly to the person who is making application for admission to the agency. So those are the areas that we felt that we needed to address to make sure that we were in complete compliance with this. So I need to ask for a signature on this particular item, and we will get it sent in the mail. So needs to meet with your approval.
Question that I would have, Gayla and Ron and board, and also to Jessica, it's more of a technicality at this point. In the document submittal, we've got Ron listed as director, and yet I'm wondering if the word interim shouldn't be put in at this point because we have not officially made that designation. It's not, and I don't want the public or someone to misconstrue, where we are. So I just think to make it clean,
definitely.
We probably should do that.
Yeah, we can do that. I notified them that Ron would be acting as interim, so they suggested we have him fill that out and be in that role for this. So absolutely, we can do that.
Right. That's the only question I have. And is this one of those that it has to be done like annually or a 3-year program?
Annually. This is an annual.
Okay.
We've done this annually for a number of years.
Okay. All right. Great.
And are there of the items that we answered no on that we're not currently doing? Were there any of them that jumped out at you as they're going to be difficult for us to comply with in the future, or was it?
I believe we fixed all of them already at this point.
It's good doing an exercise like this because it points out a few of those things to us.
Yep.
And in the past, we had answered yes on most of them because we thought that we were, like on the notifying people, we felt that we were in compliance. Now getting more information on what's being pointed out at surveys, et cetera, we recognized that we needed to do that a little bit differently than what we were doing. So it's a continual tweaking process.
Okay. A lot of it's updating our policies, and that's part of what you have in front of you, too.
Okay.
Are the updated policies.
All right, so that deals with the self-assessment. If it's okay with you, Gayla, let's hold off on approving it so that we do our approvals in order.
All right. And as Ron said, updating our policies is also an annual function, and as we go through and look at this, we reviewed in the policy and procedure manual what we're actually doing against what we write. And some things needed to be updated because procedures change, and kind of clean some of those up so you have a listing of what all the various pieces are to this. And some policies indeed are new because we didn't realize that we needed to have them previously. And client bill of rights, for instance, lists the member rights more clearly and things of this. File security is something we hadn't really had before, so this kind of details what we're more specifically as a separate policy and how it's being dealt with instead of under HIPAA, which where it was lumped together. Those sorts of things, and how often we're reviewing case notes. A lot of these are just small adjustments, but they're still adjustments nonetheless. So at the appropriate time, I'd like to ask if you would approve our changes to our policy and procedure manual.
Okay. Next item.
I believe that the next item is going to be a review of our annual report and the fourth quarter report, which one leads into the other, one sort of ties to the other. And this, I believe, was forwarded to you a while back, so I'm hoping that you all have had an opportunity to take a peek at it. It covers, as you know, the same things for the year, and actually this was part of a three-year plan. And the three-year plan technically wasn't done until the end of next year, but with a good number of changes and things on the horizon, we felt it necessary to draft an entirely new plan, which Ron will talk about moving ahead. So nothing says that we can't complete this sooner, which is indeed what we did. We have increased by 18%, I believe, from the same time last year, number of persons served. We were at a peak this year of 225 at any one time through the door. And the part that I think that we probably should collect is just a compilation of how many unduplicated people come through the door, because this represents who's here now. And I think it's a very interesting number of how many people are actually discharged and move on to different points in their life. We had been considering using a screening tool to review who has substance abuse and co-occurring issues that we needed for doing intake referrals and assessment. And there's actually a requirement now that there's a comprehensive assessment that's being done by county case managers. So it didn't seem necessary for us to duplicate that effort. At this time, we can take what they do and apply it to ours. And if we have information that needs to go back or anything that we find, because we update social histories, et cetera, and work with them, it creates an ongoing current snapshot of the person. But it no longer falls into our realm of having to do that. The policies and procedures being reviewed to reflect updated deferral and admission procedures. Obviously, we have just done that and completed that. We were looking at expanding programs and things of that nature. We had several ideas on what we wanted to do, but due to some of the constraints that we've had, we really have just kept focused on keeping going what we have going. Now we have managed to, you know, do some different things with client groups, et cetera, as far as what we do within already existing programs. But as far as developing any new programs, we have stayed with the work skill program that we had started in the kitchen, and that was kind of where that ended, and we just have been trying to be steady Eddies since that point. Work groups, we've continued to utilize a cross-section of direct care staff, administrative staff, support staff, whoever, to come together and work on various issues at the agency. That seems to be a very effective process for us, and we've had 5 different groups completed at this time. One for a vision statement, one on improving the referral process, the weekend activities and streamlined admission. The latest group is working on how to work on improving our documentation quality to try to assist with the QA process, and looking at ways that we can reduce some of the duplication we have in just procurement of, like, foodstuffs, supplies for the group homes, et cetera. So that's been a real good process. I think that it really assists people in feeling vested and involved, and we're discovering that a lot of those folks have some really good ideas because they're the ones dealing with it on a day-to-day basis. So kind of skipping ahead, our billing and oversight, we're, like I said, we have a work group consisting of direct care staff and supervisors who are helping our QA people. One of the changes that we've made is assigning supervisory staff to just physically be present, pretty much making their offices out of the sites instead of being located necessarily at the administration building, so that they can be there to provide more assistance with, here's how you might have documented that situation to ensure that we're capturing what we need to do and being able to get credit for what we do, and also to relieve the QA process, because at this point we're trying to read pretty much all the notes before we submit. And that's an arduous task, to say the least. The QA person is also going out and doing direct hand-over-hand sorts of assistance with anybody who hits the radar as maybe struggling a bit with how to use the format. And that's going well. I think we're seeing some real improvements with that. The overall wage, average wage, we hope to have it be at or above $9 per hour for persons who are in supported employment, and this last quarter we're at $9.08. The only time that we just met it, we didn't not meet it this time, was the first quarter where we started out at $9 an hour. We contacted, the job coaches contacted three new employers this year, or this quarter, but we had other contacts that I think that I covered with in the McTeam report, where we did some provider employer events through the Chamber of Commerce and a few of those others, that we had quite a few more contacts made than what's represented there, but that was majoring job coach outreach. Consumers are working an average of 16.46 hours per week. We were hoping for 20 hours per week, but we're glad to maintain the employment level that we have, because we're still at 65% of persons who have indicated that they would like to have outside employment, competitive employment, are employed. So that's,
we've not been above 20 any time recently, have we? 20 hours per week.
No. It has been averaging, because that's a goal, truly a goal. Number of people average in the classes for the COIL program, the College of Independent Learning, is 29.67. That 0.67 person is hard to bill for. Requires real math. But it takes anyway, just a math thing. Basically 29, 30 are the average attendance for each of the classes. And we are up on our number of billable hours that are being delivered. And that's a good thing. A very steady progression of that. And that's reflective, again, of the QA process.
Okay.
Let's see. The technology plan, pretty much we've met that with our CLIP. That was about CLIP applications and also accessing training via an electronic format, and we are using CE Solutions. This will be our first year with concluding that, and that has really been a positive thing for us. The curriculum that they use for each of the classes is matched up to the requirements for the regulations that we have to work through. So, for instance, child independent adult abuse, everybody can do that online. So this way, it's very easy for people to access that. Whereas before, we had to try to gather everybody together, have somebody go out and cover their sites and things like this. If it was during work hours, pay people to come in extra. This has proved to be very cost-effective, and we are certainly getting a much larger application and getting people in a much faster way to comply with our regulations and our desires. So that's working really well. You can go down and take a look at the statistics as far as just the general things that we collect, staff retention, referrals, discharges, et cetera. And those appear to be staying relatively constant. And I think that's it. And kind of summarized, I think that you all have a copy of the program report, the little folder piece that sort of highlights some of the big points. And I thought it turned out really nice this time. Very bright and colorful, and highlights some of the same issues that I just went over, and comments from stakeholders on the back. So that's one for sure that we send out and pass about. So that is that on that piece. Are there any questions to any of that I went over? I know I went through it quick, but I also know we...
Any questions on the 2012 annual report? Okay, good job.
All right, and with that, then I'm going to just kind of move to the future, the time machine.
Okay.
We'll have Ron go over the new things.
So now, Ron, if it's okay, take us back, take us through the operating plan for 11 through 13.
Okay.
Is that the next thing we have? Yep.
It is.
Okay. Isn't that what you just did?
I just did the review.
No, she just did 2012.
Okay. Gotcha. But you did the fourth quarter report for 2000. What we were talking about when we did the 2011 through 13 plan.
Okay.
And what we're doing now is adding the 13 through 15 plan. Because we decided we needed a new plan rather than finishing out the current one because enough had changed.
Good.
That
works.
Okay, so the 2013 through 15 plan is new, and this is what I'll be reporting on for the next couple of years at least. I think the easiest way to do this is to talk about each objective, and then if you have questions about the steps, I'd be happy to answer them, but I won't go through each one of them. Unless you want me to.
Yep.
So our first goal is that we will improve the effectiveness, efficiency, and satisfaction levels of our processes and programs. Objective one is that a remediation plan will be developed by the residential and nursing services manager and the agency director by March 31st that outlines a measurable outcome plan for improving our direct care staff capabilities. So the steps basically outline how we're going to do that through training and a better orientation process, et cetera.
Okay.
Objective two is that the management team will develop an improved quality assurance process. We have a new policy that we've included in your packet for you that regards this as well. And what we're looking for here is to update our incident reporting and follow-up, document review and file review. And there's a process that IME requires that we use called discovery remediation and improvement process. So we're actually using that process specifically when we do these improvements.
Yep.
And it's a data-based way to improve things and so that we can show that improvement over time. And then we have outlined the steps that we're going to go through in order to do that. Objective three is that the vocational department will use the rehab process to assist clients in choosing, getting, and keeping employment. That's a holdover from our old plan. We want the average wage to be $9 an hour at least, consumers to get 20 hours per week of work, and the goal is 65% of people who receive supported employment will be working. We also want to increase our billable services, and we have our goals set out there for COIL, improving the number that we serve there. The technology plan, the new technology plan is also outlined as that we will provide remote access to the agency documentation software, which is CLIP. Right now we have CLIP, but we can't access it remotely as of yet. We'll update our website, and I think that's already completed.
Parts of it are.
Right. And we actually now are able to use Facebook also for people to sign up for activities. So that's a new thing. We'll develop a staff portal for training and information and ensure that all programs, applications, and are on the server, SCCLP server. And we'll have computer access to all CC sites by December 3rd, 2013.
And a couple of these items, we're saying we would do it by December of 2012, but we're still working on a few of them. Is that accurate?
Yep. Yep. And then goal number three is that we will track specific data, determine trends, and this is a holdover from the old plan, too. There's no change there.
Okay.
Also included is a risk management plan, which is a requirement of CARF. It requires us to go through our loss exposures, the things that we think put us at risk in any way. And we've outlined those here. And then it asks us to do an evaluation of those exposures and what strategies we're going to take to overcome them and to meet them. And then how we're going to monitor these risks throughout the year. If you want me to go into specifics, I can on that.
I don't. No. I read through it. I thought it's straightforward.
It's pretty straightforward.
Okay. And then we also have a marketing plan, the 2013 marketing plan. This was put together by our vocational services manager, and it's also a CARF requirement that we have this. It looks at how we're going to approach getting people jobs, how we're going to market ourselves to employers. It looks at what our strengths and weaknesses are, that kind of thing.
Outstanding questions.
What type of feedback are you anticipating from your marketing plan? Is there an attempt to do a survey or a contact to get some type of feedback?
Yeah, we do an annual satisfaction survey that's sent out to employers and other stakeholders that gives us feedback.
I think that we've run through everything we believe that was on there.
Yep, so I'm going to go right back up to the top.
Okay.
Item 2 was review of the operating plan 11 through 13. Doesn't require any action from the board, I don't believe. We appreciate the review. Number 3 is consideration and review of the Community Life Program 2013 to 2015, which is what Ron just went through for us. Are there any additional questions for Ron or Gayla about that operating plan for 2013 to 15? That one does require action from us.
Move approval of that plan.
I'll second.
By Toot, seconded by Clinton. Further discussion? Hearing none. Toot?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. That one is passed. Item 4 is consideration and review of CLP 2012 self-assessment, which is that was the first thing you went through with us, Gayla. Were there any additional questions about what Gayla went through on the self-assessment, where we'd identified a couple areas that we're currently not meeting, but we're going to meet them? If not, I would love a motion.
Move approval of the self-assessment plan as submitted.
Second. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. That passes. Item 5 is consideration review of newly revised community life policies and procedures. And that was a big pack of stuff that we went through, just where we actually have policies that match how we're operating. Correct?
Correct. We hope so. As of today, we do.
As of today.
Right.
Good. Questions?
Questions again. I would move approval of the policy and procedures as outlined.
Motion by Clinton.
Second.
Seconded by Toot. Further discussion? Hearing none. Clinton?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Sanders? Aye. That one is taken care of. And that's it, isn't it?
That's it.
Outstanding. And now, Gayla, before you slip away, this is the last time you're going to be visiting with us in this capacity.
In this capacity?
We
that
had
is
a
true.
Wonderful little reception for Gayla on Friday. And Wayne, you said a few words there, and I'd love you to say a few words here, and Paul, you as well. But Gayla, I'll just tell you, I've only been on the board since 2010, started paying close attention to the board in 2008. It became readily apparent the first time I looked at some of the things Story County had going on that one of the real positive was the Community Life Program. That is a direct tribute to you. I mean, you were clearly the driving force behind getting the Community Life Program going, and everything that we've done up till this point is with your fingerprints all over it. And I hope it's something that as you leave us, you're really, really proud of how you're leaving this thing and what we do for Story County. And we're going to miss you. You have been unbelievable, and we're so appreciative of what you've done for Story County these last 30-plus years. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been quite an opportunity, and I've been proud every day to say I'm part of this organization. I'm proud to work with great boards, great coworkers. It's just amazing. We have a wonderful community, and without all those factors coming together, honestly, we wouldn't be where we are. It's been a collaborative effort. It certainly is much larger than one person, believe me. So,
Supervisor Sanders, you kind of encapsulated and summed it all up. If you would, as you saw at the reception, the accolades that came in from the few people on the program that recognized the tremendous dedication and advocacy for the clients that we serve here has made us a marquee program in the entire state. And I think, you know, that is a direct reflection of the leadership that we've had. And as I've had the pleasure of serving for the past 12 years, and I can assure you that each and every time, if ever there was a question about why we're doing something, how we're doing it, why it was significant for us to place our emphasis in certain areas, we couldn't have asked for a more dedicated advocate and a person that could clearly point to, you know, why these programs were necessary and vital. And I think the success speaks for itself. And I just know, as I said on Friday, you know, good people come and go, and then others are pick up the torch and run with it. You've left a clear path for the future of Story County. And as Rick said, I think you can go away knowing full well that your footprint will forever be implanted into the community life program here in Story County. And we can't thank you enough. And from time to time, I'm sure that we'll try to pick your brain when it's necessary as you travel to and fro on different venues. But job well done and a lot to be thankful for.
Thank you, Wayne.
I'll just echo what the other two gentlemen have said this morning. And you can always be proud, Gail, that you took a vision sometime in the mid-80s when the county knew they were going to have to move away from the county care facility and turn it into what it is today. And that's something I think that you can always be proud of. I know I'm proud as a board member here in Story County that we've kind of set the standard of how you should take care of your most needy citizens here in Story County. And I wasn't able to be there on Friday, but I was on the top deck of the Liberty of the Seas, and the second Mai Tai that I had...
You were thinking about me? You know, that's funny, because after my reception, you came to mind, too, when we were celebrating. Yeah, great minds.
We're just a couple of miles apart, but congratulations, and thanks for all your good work.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good. All right.
All right. Okay. Next item, our friend George Belletsos from YSS. Hi, George.
Good morning,
supervisors.
How are you?
I'm excellent.
Good.
Thank you. I would like to add my tribute to Gaylitz. She's been here almost as long as myself, and I knew she was too young to retire. I hear that she is moving on to work with the Iowa Association of Community Providers, which YSS is a member of. So when I was at her farewell party on Friday, I made sure I got her new email address, because it's good to have someone on the inside of that association to call. I am here to give our six-month report. The first two quarters have concluded, and I'm going to also have a special report for you on mentoring, which... January is National Mentoring Month, so if I could have Barb come up, who is our mentoring coordinator, while I pass some things out to you that I will refer to afterwards. Barb is our Story County mentoring coordinator, and she's going to give you all the facts and figures.
Okay. Barb, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here. As George said, I am the mentoring coordinator for YSS. I coordinate, our program is in Boone and Story counties, and I coordinate both counties. So the report was sent to you prior to this meeting. We're active in Ames, Ballard, Collins, Maxwell, Gilbert, Nevada, Colo, Nesco. Colo, Nesco is new. That school district was just recently added. They approached us about our mentoring program, And we had I had a meeting with the school counselor, and actually the school is going to use our model in their school district. The school counselor is going to facilitate the mentoring program in Colonesco, and so I have been working with her on our model. She'll use our manual, everything, and then provide support and all that. So she's not technically part of our staff, but they will be running that program in Colonesco. Staff, beginning of the year, is always busy getting everybody scheduled and started. That's our first quarter. Second quarter, staff is busy continually recruiting new mentors, making new matches, and supporting those matches that they've made. This year, Kelsey Daniels is our AmeriCorps Vista. Last year, we had also had AmeriCorps Vista, a one-year assignment. Kelsey's main focuses for our program are literacy. This year, we're focusing on literacy. Our mentoring program is not a tutoring program. Our mentors are not tutors, but we wanted to incorporate literacy into our meeting times. So we're giving mentors, just educating our mentors on how to do that, just with the regular activities that they're already doing. So not really modifying what they're doing during their time, one-on-one time, but just some little tips on how to incorporate that. We will be having a training on literacy for the mentors coming up in February. We are getting the Boone County Librarian and the Story County Librarian involved in that, and they're putting that together for us, and we'll be presenting that training. And then Kelsey's main job responsibilities are recruitment and awareness of our mentoring program. The third annual Pair Up for a Purpose run was held November 4th. Our first 2 years, we were extremely lucky with good weather. This year, not so much. It was a little rainy and cold, but again, it was successful. And the main purpose of that run is to raise funds and also awareness of our program. That run is held on ISU campus, so it's held here in Story County. And ISU has been extremely easy to work with that run. National Mentoring Month, as George said, January is National Mentoring Month. Some activities that have gone on this month is Mel in the Morning radio show. I was actually, if you were listening, I was unable to do that due to another commitment. So Kelsey, our AmeriCorps Vista, and our new intern, Frankie. Frankie just went to observe, but actually Mel put her on. So it was a good experience for her. But they did that. Day on the Hill. We attended Day on the Hill. Very successful. And that, again, is just this awareness of our program. And in connection with Day on the Hill, I was asked, I had the honor of presenting the Excellence in Mentoring Awards through the Iowa Mentoring Partnership. I'm currently the chair of the Iowa Mentoring Partnership, and also my 6th year as commissioner on the Commission of Volunteer Service. So I represent mentoring throughout the state of Iowa. Certificates of appreciation from Governor Branstad were sent out to all our mentors, mailed out to all our mentors. And in addition, we made postcards for our mentees, those are the kids, that they wrote little messages to their mentors on the postcards, and all those postcards were sent out to the mentors. Some upcoming events that we have: pizza movie night next week for our programs in Story County, the literacy training that I mentioned, Valentine's Day lunch and fun event will be here in Nevada. For our mentoring program, Allison is putting that together, and that will be, that's actually going to be in February, Valentine's Day, of course. Last Saturday, I attended a recruitment awareness event at the ISU basketball game versus Kansas as part of the Iowa Mentoring Partnership and Commission, and we also had a recruitment table and got quite a few Story County residents that came by and are interested in mentoring, so they've already been contacted. Our end-of-the-quarter matches are, as if you have the paper, we currently have 149 matches going in Story County. I have them all broke down by schools, and we have 36 on the waiting list.
Actually, what I handed out was the overall data report.
Oh, okay.
So if you have
handle. These should have been sent.
It's in the folder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It's on the cover sheet.
It's on the cover sheet.
It's a breakdown between the schools.
So. Would you like me to give you the breakdown? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. Ames Elementary, we have 26 matches. Ames Middle, 24. Ballard Elementary, 22. Gilbert Elementary, Collins Maxwell Elementary, currently we have no matches at Collins at the elementary. Gilbert Elementary, 18. Nevada Elementary, 20. Colonesco just starting, so at this time, no matches. So total elementary matches are 86. And then Ames Middle School, as I said, is 24. Collins Maxwell Middle School, 4. Gilbert Middle, 26. Nevada Middle, 9. So we have 63 middle school matches in Story County and 86 elementary matches. And then the total weighting, as I said, were 36. That's middle and elementary combined.
And since this is National Mentoring Month, I'm going to put my pitch in to recruit the three of you to consider being mentors. The waiting list of 36 is mostly made up of boys. They're the hardest to match. It's the hardest to find time from volunteer males who are willing to do this once a week. So it'd be really great if all three of the supervisors, you could take a kid right here in Nevada and be their mentor. You'll make a huge difference. So for all of those of us in leadership positions, we really should find time for an individual kid. So put my pitch in. Also, I wanted to commend Barb. I mean, 150 kids that are in active matches and waiting lists of 36. This is a very active program. Each match costs about $400 a year, which includes Barb's time, the training, materials. The volunteers, of course, are giving their time. The mentors.
And the facilitators.
And the facilitators. Barb is the statewide mentoring coordinator, and she has done a really good job, and I think it's an indication of with what high esteem the rest of the state views the EGRIT mentoring program here in Story County. It's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, mentoring programs in the state. One disappointment I'd like to pass on to you. We just went through the the asset process. And it's a great process, and they usually make really good decisions. But one thing that we were hoping to do is expand our mentoring program by picking up the funding, the $25,000 that asset was giving Big Brothers, Big Sisters, who have now moved out of Story County, so that we could expand our program and pick up their mentors and mentees, but they passed on that opportunity. So I was very disappointed in that, and I just wonder where all those kids are going to go when, because we won't have the resources and the trained mentors to pick all those kids up. I think there are about 50 of them. 40 or 50. Anyway, that was a disappointment, but we are here to continue to carry on in the year ahead, and we'll have Barb come back in a year and give you an update, and hopefully by then the three of you will be mentors and you'll be able to give the presentation. And anything else to add, Barb?
I think you pretty much covered it, and the commitment's 45 minutes to 60 minutes once a week. It's usually over the lunch recess time, so that 45-minute time period is the average. So, yep, very easy, very fun. Mentors say they get as much out of it as the kids do. So.
All right, Barb, thank you.
Thank you.
Great consideration.
Wanted to also thank Wayne for serving as our master of ceremony at the community Martin Luther King Day celebration. I have a clipboard with photos of Wayne on stage.
He claims he got you guys out of there right on time, and I'm not sure I believe it.
He did. the kids who sang, photos of the audience, award winners. I think you'll enjoy looking at them. It was a great event. I would estimate there were 400 people in attendance. So thank you for volunteering your time and also for the things that you shared about discrimination and how far our country has come. Also, our young people with our AMP program, again, AMP, Achieving Maximum Potential, had their day on the Hill yesterday. And they are AMP is a statewide program that YSS coordinates. We have 13 chapters in Iowa, and each has a council made up of kids who are in foster homes. They're all in foster homes, maybe are up for adoption. They're teenagers, 13 to 18. And we started this program a year and a half ago, and we have had already 1,000 participants. We subcontract in the other communities outside Story County to carry out this program. The goal of this program is to empower young people in the foster care system. They also could be in group homes or shelters, any out-of-home placement, to empower them to engage with adults in improving the very system that they have to live under, the child welfare system. I know Wayne was there on Friday. The youth sponsored the League of Women Voters legislative forum. And
yeah.
I think they,
Saturday morning they spoke at council chambers as well, and did incredible job.
Yes, they asked questions, and I have a really neat photo here I'm going to also hand out to you. Yesterday, of course, with the fog, only three of the 13 councils made it, but we had a press conference, and five of the youth spoke. They are... they were joined by First Lady Chris Branstad, who endorsed one of the things that they took to the legislature. The youth themselves have written a bill of rights for kids in out-of-home placement. They submitted it to the state. The state loved it. And then they asked them to also write a bill of responsibilities. So they have come forward with a Bill of Rights and Responsibilities. They delivered it to every legislator yesterday. Chris Branstad endorsed it, and she took a copy to the governor and asked him to endorse it. So I'm really proud of our Story County kids and all the kids in out-of-home placement. It just goes to show you that they can make a difference. They can contribute. They may have been removed from their homes 9 times out of 10 due to no fault of their own. And these kids are picked on because they're not part of their biological family. They're bullied. Only half of the kids who reach age 18 have graduated from high school. Why? Because they are moved so many times. I know a kid that's been moved 40 times. He's 17 years old. And their credits don't go with them. That was one of their legislative issues and something that actually they're working on with Herman Kornbach because he's the head of the Senate Education Committee. So I'm going to pass this information out to you. And one other thing is a photo of our latest graduate from Youth Recovery House 712. And I am going to pass out some data that shows Youth Recovery House 712 is the premier residential drug treatment program in the state of Iowa. I'm going to pass out a map showing that since we opened, we have served 4,111 kids, 278 from here in Story County. Now I'm going to have Laura come up and give the report on Kids Club.
I was giving another job and I kind of...
Oh,
yeah.
You're going to do the prevention too?
Yeah.
So, have a seat.
Jane Larkin, our Director of Prevention Education, was unable to attend. Her report is very thorough. and lengthy. It is in your packets. So I am not going to, not being the expert in that, you know, department, she did mention that if you have any questions at all concerning her report, after you read through it, you are more than welcome to give a contact her, and she would answer any questions that you would have.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Good morning. I'm Laura Teske, Kids Club Coordinator, and I'll report on Kids Club and our middle school teen club programs. Still have strong enrollment. We added 20 new students in Story County over quarter two, and you can see we've served a large number of kids. Gilbert still has a waiting list. Ballard and Roland Story, we continue to recruit and bring kids in, so we're excited about the numbers that we have at all of our sites. We have a new semester, and we're continuing our partnerships with America Reads, America Counts, a federal program that is paid for through federal funds at Iowa State and then provided to us at no cost, which has been, for several years now, a real help to our program. And we can continue to work with HDFS 226 class, who also provides a practicum for their students and then provides just an opportunity for us to have more adults there each day. So those have been great programs for us to partner with at Iowa State. We're starting to work on a service learning projects, and over the past 3 years we've been very proud to implement programs that are true service learning. They're not just one-time volunteer opportunities. We really incorporate the learning aspect so that when kids partner with community members, they're learning about their community, they're learning about the needs in their community, they're learning history and background. We use reading and writing skills, all of those kinds of things, and then complete a project that's a service to the community. So we're proud of what they're doing. They're long-term projects. I think community members are really beginning to see in a different light what elementary age kids are able to do when they're led with by some adults, and the kids really are proud of what they do. So we're excited to see who we're able to partner with each semester at each site, and then we'll report on our projects then later in the year. And our summer program will be here sooner than we realize, and so we've started our curriculum work. We are doing a science theme for the whole summer. There's a statewide push I'm sure you're familiar with to improve the STEM skills of kids all over the state. And so we know that kids love science when they get into it. We have a great opportunity to be very hands-on, to do a lot of activities that sometimes you wouldn't be able to do with the classroom. And so we're looking forward to having those activities. We are looking for funding always to provide supplies and equipment that we'll need. So we're looking to find some strong community and hopefully business support to provide some of that so that we can really provide comprehensive learning for them all summer long. Questions about Kids Club? Okay. And our Teen Club program, again, is going strong. We have 28 kids in our Ballard program, and we have 22 in our Collins Maxwell. Those programs are pretty fluid with numbers. It's a free program, and it's kids come if they want to come each day. A lot of middle school kids are in athletics and other activities, so they come when they don't have practice or in between seasons, but we're happy with our numbers. So they, too, are starting their service learning projects, which you can read about in the report. And the Ballard program especially has done a great job of going out into the community and interviewing community members, which was a little bit terrifying before they actually got out there and did it, but really saw some great skills with them and their interviewing skills with community members. We also had our first Lego League team did their competition in December, did a great job. They didn't move on, to the state level, but they did do very well, had great comments. The theme this year was to do a project that made life easier for senior citizens. So they had to do a lot of research, and they built a robot that would help deliver mail to senior citizens. Yeah, it was a really great project. And then they also had to present a skit about how that would work. So did a great job, and those kids then are continuing the rest of the year and just doing some engineering work. And then we're really proud at Collins Maxwell. They're doing You Teach Days. And each child has the opportunity to share a hobby or a skill or knowledge that they have. They get together with the site supervisor. They go through a whole planning process. They have to plan it out like a lesson plan. And then they get an opportunity to teach to their peers. And there, again, it's a great opportunity to learn reading and writing skills, planning skills, to be seen as a leader in their program, and they really have a lot of fun doing it. And we learn all kinds of things that you would be surprised that kids know about. So, yeah, very successful and looking forward to the rest of the year, too.
Is there some collaboration with the middle school, because they have a Lego program there?
The Collins Maxwell?
No, in Ames. Ames.
Oh, in Ames.
Yeah.
No, we've had Iowa State students have volunteered to run our program. Yeah.
Might just want to check with what they're doing. I know my grandson is involved in the program there, and they had the robots and the labor, different type of things also, and they had just finished up some type of competition, and he was just telling me that they're starting to do a different venue now that's ended for the middle school, but it's ongoing involvement, and it's just incredible what these kids are able to do and create. And I didn't know whether some of the kids that go through your program, if they attend the middle school or not, and whether they are participating in that program as well. So, yeah. Okay.
As you heard from both the Mentoring and the Kids Club report, we serve all of Story County. We're in every community. And with Kids Club, we're in every community except Ames, because Ames already had a after-school program, very good one, so we didn't want to duplicate that or compete. So none of the rural schools had an after-school program, so that's where we put all our effort with Kids Club. It's a great program. I invite the three of you on. We have frequent open houses, and the kids put on shows and things. Really would be great if you could come, but you can see we're at the highest numbers I think we've ever had.
The other thing is we have a Facebook page, YSS Kids Club. Encourage you to check that out. There are great pictures that just really get a great sense of what the kids are doing every day. Yesterday's post was Roland Story is working on design all month. They did architecture and interior design, all kinds of things. But yesterday they released their spring clothing line and all of their outfits that the kids developed. And it's great to see what they did.
They should get Wayne to model.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You're really dressed well today.
Yeah, so YSS Kids Club on Facebook. We encourage you to check that out too.
Outstanding. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
One more report, and it's from our volunteer coordinator, who you're meeting for the first time.
Great.
Ann Owens, and I'm going to have her introduce herself. And this, the volunteer program is asset funded, and also through the juvenile court we receive funds. And we haven't given you a specific report on the large number of volunteers. I mean, you hear about mentoring. Those are all volunteers, but this is an overall report.
Hi. As George says, I'm new to YSS. My name is Ann Owens. I'm returning to Central Iowa after a 20-year absence of out finding out what else was out there and deciding this is the best place
to be. It is, and welcome back.
So very excited about that. I joined in September. And am just been blown away by this organization. It is the most passionate group of staff members, unbelievable community support throughout the agency and their programs, and I was and I love it. I love working with the people, and I get to work with volunteers on a full-time basis, which I've decided is what I want to do when I grow up, if I grow up. So it seems to be working out pretty well. For the first half of this year, we have 722 current volunteers. That includes the mentoring volunteers and the Kids Club volunteers. That is an agency-wide number. And so that puts us at about a 2 to 2.5 volunteer-to-staff ratio to administer the programs. In the first half of the year, they put in about 10,000 hours, just a few hundred over, but for easy remembering purposes at my age, I stick to the even numbers. So that, you know, and that comes out to between 2 to 4 hours a month that the volunteers are putting in, and that's at all levels of the agency, from leadership and advocacy through administration, organization, down to program delivery, the mentors, the kids club, site staff, the youth shift workers in the recovery homes. So that's a phenomenal feat, I think, for an organization that serves the community to the extent Youth and Shelter Services does. We receive somewhere between 30 and 35 inquiries about volunteer opportunities on a monthly basis. In the first half of the year, about two-thirds of those, or 68%, have resulted going from how can I volunteer to submitting applications. And I average probably to get about a third of those processed a month. Our application process involves they have to submit an application with references. We verify three references on the person, conduct a background check in criminal background as well as child abuse, sex offender, and adult abuse registries. And we are looking at getting started in participating in a national database search, given the transient nature of relying on the university for volunteers, and that it is easier for people to travel back and forth now. So that's background checks are one of the issues we're going to see become more and more prevalent, and the scope of those needing to expand in the future. I'm also seeing an increase in the event, and looking to my personal priorities are developing more of a corporate employee volunteer program, also looking at expanding the number of group opportunities. We get a lot of requests for church groups, school groups, book clubs, and things like that for them to be involved. My other long-term goal for YSS comes from my days as a Red Cross person, and I would love to see a volunteer position for every paid position within the organization as a means of sustainability and transitioning the programs and things, so that in the event something should happen to George before he retires, there's a volunteer that would step in and pick up a few of the details.
Including my job.
Including your all positions across the board should have one. So,
volunteer now?
If we can find them, we will. I think we're going to have to break down your job description to a few different ones and bring in more than one volunteer to do all of it. But it is a great organization. If you look at the current 2011 volunteer rate was $17.22 per hour for the state of Iowa for volunteer worth. Given what they've put in 10,000 hours for the first half of the year, that's about $182,000, sorry, a few extra zeros there, of what volunteers on a financial basis mean to YSS. But on a intangible basis, it's by far more, because it's the community support, it's word of mouth. When people say, I've got to go, I'm mentoring for Youth and Shelter Services, and it's just a great deal of support to our clients and participants. So,
any questions for Ann?
We're glad you're here, Ann.
Thank you. Thank you.
Obviously a passion to join a very passionate group.
if they just had passion from their guy at the top.
A little more at least.
Yeah, we'd have him work on his hairstyle a little bit, have him look a little bit more like us. You know.
Ann is a great addition to our staff. 700 active volunteers. That's quite incredible. Few people realize it, but we started as a volunteer organization, and volunteers have been the backbone of our operation ever since. Just to quickly finish up, I'm going to hand out our 2012 annual report. We served over 5,000 kids, not including prevention and kids club and things like that. And it's all broken down by county and location, type of service. And there's two whole pages in there on outcomes, really positive outcomes to share with you. So I'm going to hand that to you, along with a outcome report on our Iowa Aftercare Services Network. These are the kids aging out of foster care. And there are about 400 kids that age out of foster care each year. YSS, this is our largest grant from the state of Iowa, is $4 million grant. We are doing this statewide. We have 11 subcontractors, other nonprofits in other parts of the state. Rather than hiring people all over the state, we hired other agencies that already are located there to carry out this program. Since we started, we've served over 2,400 kids aging out of foster care. The outcomes have just been tremendous in terms of them finishing high school, going on to college, and it's really good outcomes for finding housing and then also employment. So it's all in this just two-page outcome summary. DHS is very proud of the program. It's gotten a national reputation. Other states are looking at how it's being done through community-based agencies here in Iowa, and they continue to fund us because this is mostly state money for this program because they really like the outcomes. The final thing I wanted to mention, just like a lot of agencies are looking at the future and doing strategic planning, which is very hard to do in this environment where things are changing constantly, especially for nonprofits, especially for those of us who depend on local government, county government, state, federal, for support. With the Affordable Care Act, that's going to change everything in two areas that we work in. Substance abuse treatment is going to be covered under the Affordable Care Act. The grants that we have received in the past are probably going to be folded into that, which means we have to work closer with physicians and with the local hospitals and clinics because under Affordable Care Act, if you're going to get services, you have to have a primary care physician. Mental health is the other area. Programs that are funding us now with what little funding the state is providing, they're probably going to be folded into the Affordable Care Act. So we're working very hard. We've had a number of focus groups. I know several of you have attended the focus group. One of the areas that we get funding for is youth employment. Wayne serves as the chair of our Youth Employment Coalition. They just had a focus group to talk about the needs in Story County, and I'm going to hand out the outcome of that focus group to you. Let me tell you this, that kids who want to work, 40% of those under 18 who want to work cannot find employment. Very few employers now will hire anyone under 18. And there's a whole generation coming along with no experience in the workforce that are turning 18. Most of our schools in Story County 5 years ago all had school-to-work programs. Now none have school-to-work programs. I think this is a travesty. I think we're going to pay the price in the long run. You'll read from this when those who do hire, I mean, the kids don't have references. They don't know how to fill out their application form. It's pretty basic stuff. So we're taking this into consideration as we plan our 2013 through 18 is our next strategic plan. Next time I appear before you, I'll be able to share that plan with you. Thank you for
absolutely
giving us so much time today.
One of the things that we discussed yesterday in our meeting was that some of the ones that would be probably employable, if they haven't had a previous job experience, they're also finding it difficult. So people want, because they don't have the wherewithal to spend time to train them and prepare them for all the necessary things. So there are some challenges, but that survey, and we came up, I thought, with some plan of action and outreach, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to make a change as we bring more stakeholders into play. But I was very pleased with what the committee came up with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Georgia, it feels like I say it every time you come, but it's always true, and so I want to make sure I say it again. Story County is really, really lucky to have YSS. We appreciate everything you and the organization do, and we're really lucky to have you. So,
right.
Thanks.
Right. Okay. And I'll take a couple of those, actually, of the kids in the audience. I wouldn't mind. Yeah, I will take a few of those. Oh, that was good. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's just what he needs. George, thank you.
You can have your clipboard back.
Next item, IRVM, Departmental Report, Joe Quaker. Joe, they've got us all warmed up for you.
I can't match this. I mean, as a lot of you know, George, you know, some of the Quaker boys are on the wild side. I appreciate everything. And Paul, sorry about the cannon. We had it in the garage. I thought the kids bought it. It's very humble on a, you know, serious note to sit out here and hear these guys talk, because I've been a part of everything, and can lead a horse to water. We wait for Wayne, or just, I tried to outdress him today. I looked in my closet. All I have is brown camo and green.
Well, if he could find a camo suit, I think he'd probably wear it. Oh, he always dresses well. Yep.
You can rent camo tuxedos. I know a guy that got married in a camo
tuxedo. A camo tuxedo.
Oh, yeah.
How about that? He'll be back in just a second.
You know, this is the 26th year of IRVM.
Really?
Story County was the second county. Blackhawk County was the first.
Okay.
In February, Wayne, this is the 26th year of IRVM, believe it or not.
Oh.
I went back and looked. Jane and a couple others were on the board, and a lot of conservation board. Fred was on that also.
Fred and Jane, and who would that have been back then?
There was a couple long-timers on the conservation board that were for it, too, and a lot of supporters in the Iowa Prairie Network. And, you know, I typed this up early this morning. I didn't have a lot of numbers. See you, George. Everybody's throwing numbers out here. But we did plant 25 more acres of native vegetation, prairie stuff. And it seems in Story County, well, in the statewide, if you read some of the information, my wife was in New York last week, and she sent me an article she saw in the New York, what's the magazine out there, in the Times, in the paper. And it was about Iowa, and some of the, I don't know the numbers, but it was in the millions of dollars we've lost in economic, for pheasant hunting, you know, and dove hunting made some of that up. But we're losing some acres of habitat, and that 25 acres put us over 1,000 acres of roadsides planted to prairie stuff in Story County, which is really cool. And we do plant some other things on the intersections and on shoulders of the road to keep them safer, you know, for a clear zone, because the prairie can get kind of tall. But we also, the Jeanette property that the conservation manages south of my south on S-14, we made it the day before the blizzard and planted that. We have a little more to do because the tires are starting to slip, because it was snowing, it was getting dark, and we had about 15 acres to seed up there, and we had a couple minor setbacks, so it took us longer than we wanted, which is normally the case, it seems, but we got a lot of seed down up there, and this snow cover is it's ideal for that. So, and I did bring some party favors. I'm going to skip that part, and I'll just go to, you know, office stuff. People ask conservation, field ops all the time, what do you guys do in the winter? Well, when you have two open winters, and, you know, and you get a little snow, everybody's in the shop with equipment. You know, the grinder's going, the well, everybody's fixing stuff. And that's kind of what I'm going to show you here. But also in the office, as you know, the budget was, you know, pinning that thing down and getting some numbers took some time looking at some Living Roadway Trust Fund grants and seeing how that's coming up. We do have a new grant coordinator, Steve Holland, retired. So that, you know, that process is going to change a little. The seed that we get through the Living Roadway Trust Fund, has every time we plant that, we have a record. Okay, and then we make a map through GIS mapping. That all has to be submitted at the end of the year. So that all had to go in. And that's to keep the funding going. You got to keep track, right, of federal dollars. And then the Weed Commission report that you okayed last week, a couple weeks ago, has to go into the state Weed Commissioner. And those numbers are tallied. I also did a program up at the statewide conservation gathering called Winterfest. Now, I didn't, it's normally a 3-day gig. I just went up for one day. And I did a program, License to Kill. And it was about managing invasive species. And my big thing was to use herbicides wisely. You know, it's a necessary evil, but we got to have it, and to think like a plant. If you can think like a plant, Wayne, you got it made. Not a vegetable, okay? Just a plant. Drainage ditch maintenance. Now, I got bifocals last week, but they gave me a headache, so I didn't put them on today. I'll have to take these off. I'm embarrassed, but I'll do it anyway. Here we go. Can't see anymore. Tyler wrote this up. You did a great job, and we're moving ahead with this stuff. Since I talked to you last November, we did about $3,000. We billed that out. We've done another $2,000 worth of work, but we haven't billed that out yet because we want to finish that project up. The snow and the slop out there and the wet, we're not obviously getting out in that until it dries up a little bit. Grant 13, we sent out proposals, asked for quotes, not bids, quotes, and they came back, a wide range, $10,000 to $11,000. And we're going to have a hearing March 12th, the Drainage District Trustees, you guys. We're going to have a meeting on the 12th. Talk about that, see who comes in and voices their opinion. We also have quotes out for Hamilton Story number 1 up off Highway 69. Those are due by February 8th. And then we'll set up a meeting. In the meantime, Scott sent out letters to the Grant 13 folks, to you know, advising them of the meeting and the project and the cost and all this stuff. So, and we had a meeting this week. What's today? Yeah, no, last Friday. Darren, myself, Tyler, and Scott Wall about trying to get on the same page protocol. You know, we're 6 months into this. What's our process of notifying landowners? So now Tyler and I are working on, I don't know if you want to call it a policy, but just normal operating procedure on how to advise landowners, even when we enter property, do we want to go through the hassle of mailing everybody a letter? You know, hey, we're going to be working and we're just thinking about that. You know, a little bit of feedback at some point. Obviously, we have an easement, you know, on these areas, but do we want to, you know, if someone hears us behind their house cutting trees, it's always good to let them know what's going on. So, you know, the average mailing 40 to 50 letters if we start doing this, and we could do a letter, we can just do a normal form letter and let people know. Any questions on drainage ditch maintenance? So that's coming along. So what I brought with me today is kind of what we've been doing. A lot of equipment maintenance. I did have 3 seasonal employees in. We were getting low in funding. I needed some money for burn season, so I laid those young men off. They did a great job. We got a lot done. We have a calendar if anybody needs one of classic.
I'd like to have the tractor, actually, the small miniature tractor.
Well, I think the one we're trading off is
big.
June in this month here. hopefully we can get a new one. Have I given you guys postcards yet?
Oh, I haven't gotten a postcard.
Not yet.
Look at this story, beautiful Story County roadside.
Oh, okay.
Wow. How you guys?
Don't forget the microphone, Joe.
Yep. Oh. All right. How's that? A few things we're doing here. Another project that I'm working on is propagating native plants, okay? I'm working with the University of Northern Iowa, or what we call the Tallgrass Prairie Center, if you've ever seen it up there. And we're going to do, along with some of the naturalists in Story County, one of them, Emily Herring, new naturalist we have, we're going to hold a workshop and show people how to start native plants in containers, okay? So I need to show you a little bit. Wayne, we got the safety guy coming today, right? Ed's coming. This is a pin. See how worn down it is? You got to change these things on equipment. Stuff you really don't think about so much, but this pin would come out and the other one next to it, the whole hitch comes off the tractor or the drill. That thing's going to go on down the road on its own. When a piece of equipment passes you, you're in trouble. Ever had it happen? I've had a tire pass me once. You heard me talk about the hydro seeder and the pump not working very good. This now we use that mulch that comes in a bale, 50-pound bales, recycled newspaper. Sometimes the magnet doesn't get all the stuff out of it. So when that goes through the pump, that was in the mulch.
Oh, okay.
Also, did you want a little tractor?
Yes, he did.
There you go.
Look at this thing.
Yeah.
You believe it made through the pump? I'm sitting there squirting, all of a sudden, it's all coming back at him like something's clogging the nozzle.
Wow.
All right. Speedometer cable broke. You know how these work.
Right.
The gear inside the tractor. Just things we've been working on. Does anybody know what this is? Goes with this. They go together. Well, it's a pump.
Pump. Water
and
pump?
It spins. Yep. It's for our burn rig. $14,500 burn rig. Not very old. The seals went out of it. It has a weep hole. You know, so when that weep hole starts peeing out water, I guess is the word, you know you have a leak in the gaskets. To get this, to take this in, you know, the shop bill is $120 an hour. These guys to tear this stuff down. We can do it. I mean, all you gotta do is order parts and put it back together. You don't need a computer for this, so I'm good. Carburetor. Buy a new one when your lawnmower doesn't work. This isn't for lawnmower, but solves a lot of problems. So just a few things. This was just in my desk. Ordering parts, you know, you go back and so I'll just bring this show to the board. So when people ask, what are you guys doing this winter? This is what we're doing. We're staying busy. There's a lot to do. This is just some of it.
Good deal. And we were able to build into the budget. You're getting some new equipment this year, so that's a good thing.
It's great. The one thing, you know, I did the old with the new. Again, this isn't that old. Some of this equipment, this happens. It just wears out. You use a lot, and I'm glad that we do have a shop out there. We do have, you know, the tools. If not, we can borrow from the road department. Junior and Charlie, they have the best there is, and we all share. And one thing I wanted to mention, I put down here, chainsaw sharpener. This is good for the public to know also, you know, 20 years ago, we used to take, 15 years ago, when we had chains that were dull on chainsaws, and everybody's running chainsaws, road department, conservation. We take them to Ray's lawnmower. Remember where Ray was on R38? And we'd sit there, and that was kind of the thing. Kind of drink a cup of coffee and wait for Ray to sharpen your chain. I said, hey, why don't we just buy his chainsaw sharpener? So now we have three of them in the different county sheds. Conservation has one. And we can, you know, it costs $4 a piece to sharpen a chain. But you can do it in-house for, you know, whatever it takes, 5 minutes, 8 minutes maybe. You don't have to wait. So one way to kind of help things out, you know, just if you have those tools it takes to make your job more efficient. And we bought a tire machine, not for big tires. Well, we have one for truck tires, but for lawnmower tires, Polaris tires, tires that get thorns in them. So little things like that help a lot.
Okay.
All right. You guys ever figure out if you're going to take that pickup from Darren that you got from facilities?
Well, that's an MC decision. Yes, the news on the street. That's Mike Cox, by the way, MC. You know, from the staff is yes, thank you. You know, awesome. But whoever gets it, it's going to be an arm wrestling match.
I just want it to go to youth because it doesn't work for Darren if he trades it off.
Right.
It won't have. And it's too good it's too good a truck to trade off.
Have
much value at all. So.
Either IRVM or conservation, obviously, it's a great fit. And that old 1996 that I'm driving, I felt the transmission. I can feel the rear end slipping in it. Once that goes, we'll have to get rid of that one. It's all the goodies out of it.
Really? Finally? All right.
That's
you're always
it.
Entertaining. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
That's good stuff. Okay. Liaison assignments and committee meetings.
Passed on liaison assignment, and then the only other committee I was just last evening, and then last week just had two excellent days at ISAC. A new officer school. We had a lot of first-time elected officials, as well as some one that had been there for a number of years, and it was just excellent programming, and the 2 days went very well. That's about it.
Anything?
No.
I just, Wayne and I went over and spoke to the Leadership Ames group while you were gone.
Right.
Went really, really well as it has in previous years. Other reports? Nothing? All right. Public forum number two. This is an opportunity for the public to make comments. We won't take any action on those today due to the requirements of open meetings laws, but is there anyone who would like to address the board? Joe, anything as a member of the public you address the board on?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Since Joe's the only one left in the room, I'll assume nobody else wants to address us on anything. Announcements from the supervisors. Wayne?
Tomorrow I will be going to the state capitol. I will be meeting with our legislative affairs consultant. We'll be talking about some of the upcoming legislation that is being discussed and its impact on counties so that he feels that he can represent us well. And then on Thursday I'll be back at the capitol for the transportation day at the capitol. And then we have a HRDA meeting rescheduled at 1 p.m. That I will be attending, which also is dealing with transportation issues. The other announcement is a sad one. For those listening to our broadcast of the meeting, the passing away of former supervisor Don Toms occurred yesterday, and services have been arranged at Bacon Funeral Home. There will be visitation tomorrow night from 5 to 7 p.m. The funeral service is at 10:30
Lutheran Church.
Lutheran Church here.
Memorial
Lutheran Church in Nevada. Don served 5 years on the Board of Supervisors, was appointed in 2001, was elected in 2002, and served 4 years, and just made an outstanding contribution in his short term. But he was a long-term employee of the DOT in the IT division. He was an avid fisherman and outdoors person, served as president or chair of the Conservation Board, and also was on the State Conservation Board representative. So Don will be sorely missed, and we certainly have our thoughts and prayers for his family. He certainly was very well liked and very well respected, so we send our condolences to the family in memory of Don Toms.
Thank you, Wayne. Paul, anything?
Rick, you might want to mention the letter we got this morning from Bill Peterson regarding that we are going to be able to be part of that long-range strategic planning grant that was applied for.
Outstanding. If you guys will recall, we applied for the strategic planning grant. Every elected official sent a note of interest and or support. We submitted all that. Leanne Harder did a great job putting all that together to submit it, and we have been awarded the grant. So we'll go through and do some goal setting. So, Wayne, that is great news. Also wanted to share that Thursday night I'll be over in the city of Ames giving our portion, the county's portion of the State of the Community address. And so Wayne's been doing that for us the last few years, and I'm excited to take a swipe at it. And that's all the announcements that we have. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.